Mr. Morrison?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a few additional questions, Mr. Covington. First of all, with respect to state lands and state trust lands department, is it correct that the pipeline or the route is not located on any state land department lands?
Yes, that's correct.
And there was some correspondence in the record where they identified some lands that were within the corridor, where they own the surface within the corridor, but the route doesn't actually cross those lands, so there are no state land department easements. Is that correct?
That's correct.
There was also a question about the depth of the bore, that 4,500-foot bore. Can you tell them what the depth of that bore will range?
Sure. Well, we were able to confirm without the detailed bore profile, just with the general calculations, that obviously at the beginning and end, it will be at the minimum of 4 foot of cover. But at its deepest point, it could exceed 170 feet deep at its apex. When you look at a bore that long, the longer it gets, the deeper it goes. So much deeper than any resources that we would be dealing with.
And all of it will be more than 4 feet?
Yes.
And then there was a question about the water bodies that were identified and how many of those will be bored, how many may be open cut, and how many were covered by that long bore. Can you just kind of go through and enumerate for the commission how those water bodies will be handled?
Sure. So four of our water bodies will be open cut currently in the construction plan, five HDD, and those five, four of those are covered by the long bore, and one additional one out at milepost 13.2. The remaining we were able to avoid through some routing adjustments.
And with that, I don't have any further questions.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, just a couple. You stated that there's four water bodies that are going to be open cut, correct?
Correct.
Now, in previous testimony, there was talk about how there were reclamation issues with the previous pipeline that's co-located with this pipeline. Do you recall that testimony?
Yes.
What reclamation issues do you typically run into when you cut through a water body?
So at the water body specifically, what we take into consideration when determining whether or not to do that is the erodibility of the banks itself, the structure of the channel. So that's a big consideration when we're advising the construction team whether or not to choose a bore or open cut, is really the stability, the soil types and the stability of the banks, the depth of the stream, and whether it's got a tendency to meander or blow out during high weather events. Because obviously when you open cut and you backfill, you create a soft spot for a period of time. And if you happen to have one of those events right at the right time, you could have problems. So that's the biggest challenge that we see with open cutting a water body. The decisions here that we're looking at, the ones that we open cut, don't carry those risks as highly. And so we've obviously made a calculated decision that it's fine to open cut that with the protections that are required by Nationwide 12.
So with regard to these four water bodies, if you open cut them, is it anticipated that they'll change any of the drainage flow or drainage patterns?
No, it's actually a requirement that we don't. So to be compliant with our core permit, we cannot change those things. And so the provisions, the BMPs, the practices that are required by the core under that permit, in which we administer and our environmental inspection team verifies during construction, if all those things occur per requirements, then no.
I have nothing further.
Hey, Ms. Prescott?
Just so I'm clear, the one wetland, that's within the bore area? Because I've got four water bodies open cut, five drilled, one
yes.
avoided, that's 10. And the wetland is within the 1 mile bore area?
The wetland is at milepost 1.3.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioners?
Mr. Clough.
Commissioner Christman.
I'm just looking at that 1.3 so I make sure I understand where. Okay. No other questions.
Okay. Mr. Morrison.
You know, I thought of one other area that we may want to cover just to make sure we have a good record. Did you also obtain some additional information about the nature of the structures that are within 500 feet of the pipeline? Isn't it?
Yes. So we talked with our right-of-way team. That's actually a collection of industrial structures. So there's a wastewater injection well there, and there's some control buildings and some other things around that we felt like, you know, they're occupied for enough period. They could be occupied if somebody's working there all day long. We classified them as an occupied structure or a group of occupied structures. They're within 500 feet of our corridor, but they're not within 500 feet of the pipeline itself. So,
and we have the waiver anyway.
Yes.
With that, no further questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clearing that up, Mr. Morrison. Mr. Schmidt?
Nothing further.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners? Okay. What's next?
Your Honor, we have nothing further. We would rest.
Okay. Mr. Schmidt?
We have no witnesses, Your Honor.
Okay. Then at this point, I will ask one last time, anybody out there in the gallery that wants to comment on this project? Seeing none, we'll prepare to close the hearing on this. I guess we need to talk about proposed findings, et cetera. Any closing remarks you want to make today, Mr. Morrison?
The only thing I would note, there's one outstanding issue. That it has to do with the certification that we submitted. We understand that Commissioner Fedorchuk has looked at it and staff wants to look at it, and we'll probably be proposing some minor changes. And I think what Mr. Schmidt has agreed is that he'll furnish me with a proposed amended certification. We'll look at it. I'm sure we can come to an agreement. Just want to alert you that we'll probably be supplementing the record with an amended certification that'll satisfy everybody's concerns on that issue.
So that would be a late filed exhibit?
Yeah, I guess whether you talk a late file, yeah, we can do it as late file exhibit. That's
okay.
Fine.
And what do you think the timetable for that would be?
I would say within the next 2 weeks we could get something Mr. Morrison.
And then will you prepare proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law and order?
We will, Your Honor.
Okay.
And, you know, I realize in this case we're not asking for the order as soon as possible because we don't have an imminent construction, but it's easy for me and everybody else to put these on the back burner and forget about it. So we would like to just keep it moving along and get the order out in the ordinary course of business and have everybody set and ready to go.
Can we do that in 2 or 3 weeks from today then?
I certainly can.
Okay, why don't we shoot for March 1st? I don't know if that's a weekday or not.
That'll work.
Okay. March 1st for proposed findings, conclusions, and to wrap up the late filed exhibit. That being done, anything else? Anybody? Mr. Morrison?
Nothing from us.
Mr. Schmidt?
Nothing from us.
Closing remarks from the commissioners.
Very briefly, thank you very much. It was a real straightforward application. Appreciated the good discussion, good witnesses, and I agree, let's wrap it up and not let it drag out. So glad we can do that within the next 3 weeks to a month. Thank you.
Mr. Koch?
Yeah, echo my colleagues' comments. Good application today, good discussion. The only thing I would highlight is for the people listening, this whole discussion about these certifications, we really want to make sure that the public understands and the companies understand that these certifications started out, you know, long before I got to the commission. The goal was to put something in a certification that would be a standard question that you'd ask in a hearing. And so we put it in a certification so you wouldn't have to answer the dialogue in the hearing and it'd save some time. But it's kind of become where I think some companies feel that they don't sign the certification that we're not going to approve it. It doesn't work that way. They just the way the company brought it out today. So we can handle it with a certification change, or we could just put it as a condition in the order. But these certifications, I'm becoming very concerned that they've become too big and the intent has been lost, where the intent was just to simplify the process, not to make it more and more onerous. Because if there's things that are unique to a project, let's address it in the project and don't try to make this one size fits all for these certifications. So that's why I appreciate how this all plays out. But if you don't sign a certification, that's fine. We'll just put a condition in the order that says what we want to do. So it can be handled many different ways.
Mr. Christman.
Just want to point out that when we bring everybody all the way out here to do a hearing in the county where the project is going to be built, and no one shows up to testify, I don't consider it at all a waste of time. An effort, I think, it is still a good thing, and in this case, it shows that the company has done their homework and done a pretty good job of acquiring easements and waivers and dealing with the local county and zoning authorities and such. And so I think oftentimes the lack of commentary says something even louder sometimes than the commentary we receive at other hearings, so I appreciate that homework was done.
Only closing remark I have is if their sign-up sheet is still out there somewhere, I want to make sure that it doesn't leave the room. If you want to pass it back up. And I'm going to close the hearing on the application of One Oak for a certificate of corridor compatibility and root permit and waiver of procedures on case number PU-694. The hearing is adjourned. It's about 11:12 p.m., subject to the filing of a late-filed exhibit. Thank you all.
Thank you.